If I trust myself, I'm a fool. Honestly. You know what I'm saying? There is no God. I'm not going to believe something that doesn't exist. I'm going to trust myself. Oh, that was Psalm 14:1, right? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. So what does he do? He does what's right in his own eyes. Well, that's a sin. Why? Because it's a rebellion against God. And the wages, what that person has earned, me, all of us, is death. But here's that good news again. The free gift. You don't have to pay for it. You don't earn it. You can't do enough good things to get it. The free gift of God is eternal life. But in only one way. Can I have eternal life in Buddha? Well, aren't we all praying in set? There's another, quote, Christian church in Canton that invited the Muslims in to teach, three Muslims, to teach the congregation that everybody prays to the same God. Remember where we read, there are those deceivers and false teachers? Uh-huh. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says. And this is the free gift that God has given. Because God so loved the world that he had created, that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes and trusts in Jesus will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Do you think the Bible is consistent from the beginning of Genesis all the way through Revelation? And do you see this is written by the one true God? All scripture is God-breathed. Is this pulling it together? I mean, my goodness, I partly did this because I've got a few people I'm going to show it to. Not because I know anything, but because the Bible is right. All right, next page. Go back to 2 Timothy. We're starting in chapter 4 with this one, just two verses. Because Paul, both in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, is warning. He's giving a warning to everybody. You know, we live in such a nice place right here at Christian Life Chapel that we hear the Word of God. We are reading the Scriptures. We do Bible studies together. The men, the women, the Wednesday nights. Thank you, Corey, for doing the Wednesday nights now that Mike is retired. That we don't realize that we are one of only a few, by comparison, congregations, part of the family of God, that are holding true to the Word of God. Talk to Pastor Art, he and Claudia. How many churches did you go and visit before you came here? 20-something? 42 churches. And some of them were okay, but a lot of them weren't teaching the Word of God, were they?
It's hard to tell with one visit.
You know, a lot of places will preach a word and then say, but here's the exception. Okay, so here's Paul's letter to Timothy, his second one, the end of his life, and he's giving a warning. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. The people in the pews do not want to hear the truth. It makes them unhappy. But they're having itching ears. Mm-hmm. And they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. There's a fellow who had been a pastor of a local church, finally came out and admitted that he had relationship with another man, and that he believes that because it's a loving relationship, God is going to bless it. So he left that church because they said, no, that's not right. And he started his own Christian church saying, God is love, loving men, women, whatever, is perfectly okay. And he's filling the church with people who have accumulated for themselves teachers who suit their own passions. They have itching ears to hear what they want to hear. Hey, I'd rather hear nice things. But more importantly, I want to hear the truth. And if it convicts me of something I have to fix, I better do it. So anyway, they get for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they're going to turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Myths, not mists. I list sometimes. Myths, made up stories, because it makes them feel better. And then they're back over into the two Proverbs, 14 and 16. Oh, good. It seems right to me. Don't ever tell me that doing what I want to do is going to lead me to death. Lest you think it was just Paul being a downer. Take a look at Peter. This is Peter's second letter, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But false prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. There's a branch of folks who claim to be Christian being led by people that say the return of Christ is all metaphorical. It's all made up. It's just to make you feel better. You know, Christ isn't really going to return in the flesh. And they use that to say we've got to continue in society, making society better because Christ isn't coming back. False teachers bringing in destructive heresies, even denying the master. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. Now, when the truth is blasphemed, that doesn't make the truth wrong. It makes the person who's blaspheming wrong. And a person who blasphemes the word of God is in for serious trouble. Because they will bring on themselves, it says, the end of verse 1, swift destruction. Swift in God's time, not ours. So be careful of false teachers. If something is being said that just makes you feel good in something that you know God has said is wrong, it's Satan, just like the serpent in the garden, convincing Eve that food is good for you to eat. She saw it was pretty. Tastes good. It'll be making me wise. It'll make me like God. I'm going to take and eat some of that. I don't care what God said. So what's the solution? The solution is getting into the scriptures. Remember, all scriptures are God-breathed, right? But here's the prophet Amos. Way back before Jesus. And here's what God told him to preach to the people, and it's valid today in this country. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. A famine. Not a famine of bread. Oh, heaven forbid I don't get my bread. Nor a thirst for water. I was sharing this with somebody, and they said, oh, I don't care. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow I may die. Eat my bread, drink my water or wine. Tomorrow I'm going to die. Here's what the real problem is. It's not a famine of food and drink. It's of hearing the words of the Lord. That's the famine that's on the land here. The Bible is still the most highly sold book in the United States. Because it looks good on the coffee table. It's not being opened, read, studied, and prayed over. Lord, show me what you're telling me in this word. There's a famine. Most of us, except for a few of you young people, may remember going to elementary school. And at the time of the Pledge of Allegiance, we also said, prayed the Lord's Prayer. Anybody remember that? Do you remember it was fine to have a Bible in school? My elementary school had two Bible studies going on. one led by the Catholic teacher and another led by a Protestant Sunday school teacher who happened to be my Sunday school teacher. At Christmas, we had the Christmas pageant, the story of the birth of Christ, acted out by kids. And the narration came from the Gospel of Luke. We were raised knowing who Jonah is, who Job is, Ruth, the story of Esther, A Night with the King. Hey, if you haven't seen the movie, it's really pretty good. We knew, even if we weren't Christians, we knew the Word of God. We knew about the stories. We knew about God. There's a famine. And kids, legally, they can bring a Bible in, but are they feeling comfortable bringing a Bible into school? No, because they'll be picked on. They don't believe that anymore, do you? It's sort of like reading, you know, Greek mythology. There is a famine. I talk to people at work. They don't know the Word of God. They keep saying, well, if there is such a good God, why are so many bad things happening? You tell me that. Mm-hmm. I say, I'll be happy to. Don't blame God for the things I messed up. Remember in the beginning, at the end of the sixth day, what did God say?
Very good.
Every day he said it was good. When he finished creating and went to the seventh day to rest, he looks around and he says, man, this is very good. He didn't say man. That's my Kevin Baldwin colloquial translation. Very good. What he gave us to take care of was very good. There wasn't disease, death, anger, rage, lust, love of money, selfishness. It was all very good. So when somebody says to me, if there's such a good God, why do we have all of this? Don't blame God. Blame me. Blame yourself. And what we need to do is turn back to God. And how do we do that? Get into the Word. So here's what Paul is telling Timothy in chapter 2. Timothy, tell the people to flee their youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with all those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with the foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. Stop. I have a problem, folks. I listen to people and they're arguing about should you vote for Joe Biden or Donald Trump? And then they get into heated quarrels about all of this. And it's nothing based on truth. It's, well, I don't like the way he parts his hair. Oh, he's been there for 44 years and he can't do the job. I mean, they go back and forth arguing about stupid things. I finally stopped arguing. There's no point. They breed quarrels. And who loves a quarrel? God? Satan loves quarrels, especially with people of God, because it brings down their testimony. The Lord's servant, that's us, must not be quarrelsome. Why? If you see two people quarreling, parents, most of us have been parents. When you see the kids quarreling, do you stop to figure out who was right or wrong? Or you tell them to knock it off? Being quarrelsome doesn't make you happy with the kids, and it's not going to make God happy with his kids, us, because we're not getting anywhere. We are rolling down into the mud with the others. By the way, one last thing. My father taught me when I was growing up. Never wrestle with a pig. All that happens is you, Kevin, get dirty and the pig loves it. So I try to stay away from quarreling. That was God's way of teaching me scripture. So don't be quarrelsome. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to people that I love. No. Well, who's he say I've got to be kind to? Everyone. Yeah, but wait a minute. Carol, there's some people. I mean, there's some people. I might even get Carol to agree with me. Yeah, you don't have to be kind to that one. But then Carol's going to say to me, have you prayed about
this, Kevin? I go, yeah, but Carol, maybe you'll agree with me. God does. And he says, I'm supposed to be what? Kind to
everyone.
Is there an exception to that? No. I should be able to teach them with the Bible whacking them aside of the head and beating them down. And no. What does God say? Be able to teach patiently. And when they're fighting back at me, what am I supposed to do? Endure, not defend, not fight back, endure the evil. Correcting his opponents with gentleness. Oh, folks, let me tell you, you guys are probably better than me, but when somebody is attacking me and or the word of God, I find it very hard to be gentle. I really do. So you know what I have to do when that starts rising up in me? Help me, what should I do when I start not wanting to be gentle with somebody that's being bad to me? What should I do? Pray? Lord, help me, please. Let me respond, giving you the glory no matter what they do to me. What I want was to respond with gentleness. Why? Because God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil. The devil is there to deceive. We respond as God would have us. Perhaps the Holy Spirit will work in their lives. They will turn back, smack their nose right into Jesus Christ and be embraced by him. And then be captured. Do his will, the will of Jesus Christ. So all scripture is God-breathed, and it's suitable for what? Back on the front page. All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for what?
Teaching.
Teaching for reproof, for
correction
and training in righteousness so that each of us can be complete and equipped for the good works God's called us to do. To die is gain. Thank you, Lord, that together we will all be together with you for eternity. But for now, to live is Christ. That's our job. The scriptures will help us do it. Turn to God as we come under attack. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, because in answer to the question, who can we trust? We trust you and you alone. And how do we come to know you better? Through your word, the scriptures. Holy Spirit, you have come to us, as Jesus has asked, to dwell within us, to teach and remind us of all that Jesus said and did, including all of the scriptures, Old and New Testament. Help us to get into the word. And in the areas we don't understand, bring us your understanding, not a man's understanding, not a commentator's, but yours, God. Because we trust you and you alone, that we may go into the world with joy and gladness, sharing this good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for listening. And next week, we're going to spread out a little bit in our study. It's not going to be just about us. It's going to be looking at the world as God has given it to us. So if you want to jump start, take a look at Romans chapter 1, and there'll be several other things we'll be doing about getting into scripture.